Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Look, what is wrong with you people in the chat? I said last hour, at the end of the hour, that they were changing the Big Bang. You know, that there's a scientist who says it, maybe it wasn't a Big Bang. Maybe it was a bunch of little bangs. And now all of you guys are like, hey, it's fart jokes time. And little bangs is but crop dusting. And I'm like, oh, you guys, I'm enjoying it. But you got to remember that it's not just the Manny Fry show reading this stuff. Annie will see all of this, I'm sure, or at least I think.
Yeah, and she'll be like, why did you let them talk about that? And we're like, well, we didn't.
It's going to come back on us, is what we're saying. Is that she's going to say, look, you guys did an hour on farting. No, we didn't. We did not. You did. If you want to be a part of that conversation for whatever reason, type in Annie Fry on YouTube.
Or if you want to change it, come in and talk about something else.
You could be the change you wish to see in the world. This is the Annie Fry Show. She is in Washington, D.C. yesterday and today. She will be back in tomorrow morning, hopefully right in time for the show. Otherwise, I will be ready to go, and she'll be in sometime during the show. And in fact, we were talking about in this segment maybe being able to go live with her. This is how kind of late everything's happening, is that we were going to try to maybe go live with her in Capitol Hill, because she's actively doing interviews with lawmakers right now, a lot of them with local ties, people that you would know, the names you would know. But she's been also sending us interviews that she's doing along the way. And we figured we'd set apart this segment to play for you a couple of those. They're shorter. So this first one is with a guy named Link Lauren. Now, I did not know his name before yesterday. Brad did.
Yeah.
He's an influencer.
I've been following him for quite a while. Political commentary, that sort of thing. Worked with the RFK campaign and that sort of thing. Now he's partnered up with Megyn Kelly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just good, funny, pithy political commentary.
And he's got a lot of followers, a lot of influence. That's why they call them influencers. And he is part of the what they call new media. And there is a new media chair in the White House. I don't think he was in it. Yesterday it was D.C. Drano was in
right.
it. Today it was somebody from Punchbowl News.
And
so these are new media outlets, which I think is cool. And this is not something that previous administrations have utilized or at least made official. Yes, they probably talked to influencers along the way more and more as they become more influential. But now they actually have a seat in the press room. And I guess Annie just kind of ran into Link Lauren yesterday and said, hey, you want to talk? And he said, sure. So here you go.
Out here on the White House lawn with my new friend Link Lauren. You know his name. You know him from X, and you probably know him as somebody who worked really hard to help support RFK Jr. in the last election. Link, thanks for talking to
me today. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So you said you're kind of new to the White House press pool?
I don't even know if I'm in the pool. I don't know the difference between this pool, the travel pool, the swimming pool. All I know is I'm here by the grace of Caroline Leavitt and all the incredible people who work for her in the press office. They were kind and gracious to invite me, and I'm grateful to be here, and it's a privilege to be here, honestly.
What do you think about the White House's focus on bringing new voices in, not kicking the other ones out, of course, but making sure that there is a broader representation in the press room.
Totally. I think there are a lot of new media folks who go online and say legacy media needs to get kicked out, kick them out of the press pool, kick them out of the White House. I think you need a cornucopia of voices. I want MSNBC here. I want CNN here. But I also want Bannon's War Room. I want new people. I want to be here. And that's that dialogue and that push and pull and that tension and release that we need to get the fair coverage here in the White House.
I think that's a great point. And I think that they've done a pretty good job of doing that. The people who I've talked to who have been in the briefing room say there's always a lot of new faces inside the room. So talk to me a little bit about what you've got going on. You have worked a lot with RFK Jr. Mm-hmm. He is a huge part of the reason Donald Trump obviously won the election. Tell me about working with him and then now where that has taken you. You've got some things coming up.
Right. So after the Kennedy campaign, I basically went and did political commentary and focused on my content and going on shows. And I just try to be a voice of common sense. You know, I've never taken a dollar from the RNC or any Trump aligned PACs or Trump. I really just call it like I see it. But it just so happens the right is much more aligned with common sense right now. They're on the side of the 80% of these 80-20 issues. And so I also have my new podcast coming out on May 12th with MK Media, Megyn Kelly Media. It's called Spot On with Link Lauren. So we have so many group texts and calls going now as I'm here the White House to get it done.
Yeah.
But I'm super grateful to start. It's going to basically be what I've been doing on TikTok for years. It's politics, it's pop culture, it's royals, it's everything in between, and also bring people along with me to the White House and these exciting opportunities.
Well, I'm excited to download it when it comes out. What's the name again?
Spot On with Link Lauren.
Spot On with Link Lauren. Will you come on the Annie Fry Show sometime
1,000% now. This is my new best friend.
All right. Thank you, Link. We appreciate it.
We tricked him. He's on the Annie Fry Show right now. Unbelievable. A lot of you guys are commenting. Actually, let's pull this one up here. Stick Maniac says, love Link. So I guess you guys do know who he is. I was not familiar with him until yesterday. And the rest of you guys are still doing fart jokes. So I'm not going to pull those up. Farting in the elevator and all this stuff. All right. So, I don't know, man. What you guys deal? Politicians pooping in coat closets now?
Jeez, guys.
Guys, we're trying to have a dignified show here.
This is a serious show.
So that was Link Lauren. He worked on the RFK Jr. campaign. Yesterday, we talked to Annie a bit about this yesterday and today, that yesterday of this 100-day week, which we're covering here on 97.1, by the way, and it will continue tomorrow with the town hall with Trump and Chris Cuomo and Bill O'Reilly. That is 7 o'clock tomorrow night. That'll be kind of fun to listen to. We're carrying it exclusively. Mm-hmm. But yesterday was the focus was immigration.
Yep.
Today was economy, his economy. Tomorrow, do we know what they're doing?
I don't know, and I'm not sure that there's a press conference tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Health and Human Services, you know, take back your food and stuff like that. I wouldn't be so the RFK thing is interesting because all these people, you know, there's so many different areas of reform that are happening in government and that really are going to affect American society that you kind of can do one day on each thing and say, look, this is where we're going right now. We did a poll last week that was, do you expect a big announcement on day 100?
Right.
I don't know that we got that announcement.
No, we didn't. I would say we didn't unless he does it tonight at the rally.
Oh, that's right. He could do it tonight at the rally. But we'll see. I would have figured that it would have been part of the press pool, you know, stuff this morning. But we'll see. So that's the poll from last week. This one, since we're on it, is will the next 100 days have more victories, less victories, about the same, or there haven't been any victories? You can let us know what you think about that. We get the results at the end of the show. Annie did have a chance to sit down. Well, she was sitting in Mike Boss' office while she was talking to us, and there was like a buzz going off that we assume was because they needed to vote on things. We don't really know. That's the stuff that we'll find out soon because that's all like insider stuff. We've never experienced that before. Yeah. But she did finally get to catch up with Representative Mike Bost, and we'll play that for you now.
If Congressman Mike Bost in his office here on Capitol Hill, Congressman, I'm up here to cover the president's 100th day today, actually. Your thoughts on the administration's job so far?
Well, first off, I've never I've been through three presidents now, even his presidency before. I've never seen so many things happen in such a short period of time. Not just executive orders, but also moving bills to deal with the border, to deal with illegals, make sure that they're, and really it's just like he said, promises made, promises kept. He's doing his job to keep those promises. Now we have to do our job to try to make sure that executive orders actually become law, not just an executive order. So if he leaves and a new person comes in, they don't all of a sudden get rid of it. And there's a lot of things we're going to be working on from that. But every day, including this week, remember that, we're starting to have our committee hearings on reconciliation to pass the One Big Beautiful Bill. So our hope is that we get that done by, it's going to take about 3 weeks, and it's going to be vicious fights. It really is. But then we send that over to the Senate. The Senate hopefully will agree with the majority of it. Hopefully that this will be very wonky. It will have to pass the Byrd rule, which is the to make sure that everything in the bill is truly about the budget. But as far as his administration, he's doing exactly what they told the people he's going to do.
Congressman Voss, one other question before I let you go here. You chair the Veterans Affairs Committee.
Yep.
A lot of people are concerned about their entitlements being affected, yep. And a lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to the veterans.
And here we can tell this to your listeners. The president, myself, the secretary of the VA, no services for our veterans are being cut. Reducing bureaucracy, that will happen. And quality of the delivery of those services will happen. And you can take that to the bank. We're going to make sure that our veterans, because here's the thing. I said it before the new secretary, but the new secretary says it as well. The VA was not created for bureaucracy. It was created for the veterans, and our veterans will be served.
Mike Bost with Annie Frye just moments ago. She's sending this stuff kind of as it's happening. Do we know for sure that she's been able to talk to Representative Mary Miller yet or no?
I know they were scheduled to meet, and she was scheduled to meet with Rep. LaHood. Now, you can schedule stuff in Washington, but votes happen, meetings happen, stuff gets called last minute, and they all got to run to the floor. So there's always a chance that that didn't come
it was
together,
it was but, maybe going to happen right but, now, so yeah. That's why I didn't know if it was actively in the works or what. But that's our job, to just sort of keep the trains running here as she is in Washington, D.C. So one of the things that Mike Bost said there that I found interesting, of course, we're hearing this live the same time as you are. We're getting it, and we can't preview it while we're on to play it back. We're just playing it as we get it. So what he said was he's still hoping 3 weeks away from a budget bill, which I was surprised to hear, because we know, timestamp, we know when that came through.
Yeah.
And just this morning, we were hearing from Speaker Mike Johnson that he was maybe looking at July 4th as the deadline now, instead of Memorial Day, which just yesterday, Ryan Schmelz told us, Memorial Day.
But Ryan Schmelz, when you asked him, said, I could be closer to July 4th.
I think, we acknowledge that. So for Mike Bost to still say, yeah, we're looking at 3 weeks, that's still Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. So a little bit surprised to hear that. I'll say it again. I said it yesterday, probably the same time, that I don't really care how long it takes. Don't let it get in the way of other things. So if it's just jamming everything up and you got all this other stuff you're not doing because you're focused on that, that's one problem. Mm-hmm. But if you're just hammering out negotiations because, A, you got to get through a lot of rules processes, you're going to have that anyway. But B, you got so many different factions, mainly within the Republican Party, that are trying to make sure that hopefully it's not just my priorities in spending get through, but that my priorities in cutting spending get through. I will say that till I'm blue in the face. We have very little opportunity to actually cut the budget. And this is an opportunity to do that. Rescission will also happen. We're getting into the weeds a little bit when we say that. I get it. But that's where you take everything that DOGE has done, you bring it back to Congress, probably individually, and vote it into the budget bill. But that would come after the budget bill is passed. So these are complicated things. Mike Bost said that. It's not like super entertaining radio. Right. But that's our job, is to communicate this information as we understand it to you in a way that we all get it.
Yeah, and I also appreciate him clearing the air about VA cuts. I know there are a lot of people, because a lot of the people that I'm around are veterans affairs, active duty, stuff like that. And this does cause a bit of consternation, but he's saying there's no cuts there. So it's good to know that, and to kind of clear the air whenever the other side is trying to muddy the water in the process.
Oh, Brad, you just said consternation. And this whole segment, people just are, you know what people said? They said,
hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Constipation, and other people are doing hashtag shart and stuff still. I why is this a thing in this segment? We keep trying to move away from it, and you keep dragging us back into it.
Consternation has nothing to do with what the chat has been talking
muddying
about.
The waters.
Yeah, that also doesn't have anything to do with the chat.
This is your fault, listeners. No, we didn't do anything.
Y'all need to get your mind out of the
toilet.
Yeah, out of the toilet.
Not even the gutter. It's not even that kind of humor. It's just toilet humor. This is your fault. All right. We're trying to do a proper show here, the Annie Fry Show. Hashtag let it go. All right. Yeah. You know we're kidding. You know I actually really enjoy this, right?
Go, Jackie, get him.
Yeah, go get him. All right, it's 2:21. We're going to take a short break and come back with a little bit more stuff. Now, this is stuff I prepared yesterday. Bill Maher had a guest on. His name, Adam Schiff. There's some goofy stuff that came out of that interview. This guy is so weird to watch. If you're a person who watches Adam Schiff, even if you're a Democrat, please let me know if you're like, everything that guy says seems super trustworthy to me. I want to meet you because you've got to be one in a million. That guy, everything he says to me, you're like, what's the angle? He just looks like he's lying. He was on Bill Maher talking about the film industry and why it has basically left California. And we'll get to that next. I don't really like Miley Cyrus that much, but this is a good song.
Yes. It's in her wheelhouse.
I think I say that every time we play that. Hey, this is the Annie Fry Show, and it is kind of the Manny Fry Show right now because Annie is in Washington, D.C. She's still
and our
got
chat.
What's that?
And our chat.
Oh, gosh, yes. Down. Oh, my gosh. You guys did not stop during the break. If you're just tuning in, people are going like full fart jokes in the chat right now. Not sure why. And now we're going to do a segment on Adam Schiff. So have fun with that. This started because a few weeks ago, Rob Lowe, of all people, I guess he was doing a podcast. Maybe I don't know if it's his podcast or if he was on a podcast because everybody has a podcast now. But Rob Lowe was talking to somebody about how dead it feels in LA, in Hollywood, if you're in the industry, meaning the entertainment industry. And you thought, well, maybe it's a little bit more perception. And Rob Lowe was willing to speak about it because Rob Lowe seems to lean right. I don't know that he's been out in public wearing MAGA hats or anything like that, like what's his name, Snake from Escape from New York was. I can't remember his name.
Kurt Russell.
Ray Russell. I can't want to say Douglas. Kurt Russell.
Snake from New Escape from New York.
So he was like wearing full MAGA stuff. But he doesn't go out and do interviews about it. He just wears it. I don't think Rob Lowe is in that camp, but I do think that he probably leans right and just doesn't say a lot in Hollywood. Although Hollywood is changing, and he was criticizing California for being so crappy, for letting that whole industry leave, which it kind of has. But now Ben Affleck is out there criticizing California. Ben Affleck is definitely not right or MAGA. but he is saying California has taken Hollywood for granted as film and TV productions flee the state. He says, quote, "I think part of the problem with California is they came to take this industry for granted a little bit." He was on the red carpet for his movie premiere for The Accountant 2. Have you seen The Accountant 1?
No.
Do you know it? I don't know the movie.
Yeah, it's an action movie.
Oh, okay. He says he pointed out that places such as Georgia, New Mexico, Louisiana, I didn't know that one, Texas, Massachusetts, and New Jersey have offered tax deals and other incentives to lure productions because they understand how stimulative it is for their economies. That's very true. Illinois actually does it too. And Missouri had talked about doing it. They may have had it for a while. I don't know if they still do, some tax incentives for productions to be here. I think I got an argument once on Twitter, a mild argument with John Lamping about this.
Is there such thing as a mild argument on Twitter?
Kind of, because it's John Lamping and we know each other enough, you know, that it was like, we're going to go full at each other.
But had a mild disagreement.
I come from that world, and so I was advocating for Missouri to keep those tax breaks for productions, for movies and TV and whatever. And he was like, we should not do that. That is stupid. And I don't disagree with the premise, but my premise was, why not lower all taxes? Like, let's find opportunities to keep lowering taxes. And his was, well, yeah, but why just that one? And I completely understand.
Why just that one? Good point. Agreed.
I really did. I agreed, but I said, but in the meantime, I would still like to see those. And so I just kind of disagreed. But that very argument came to Bill Maher, of all people, with Adam Schiff. Now, Bill Maher obviously is in the entertainment industry, but Adam Schiff is not, or at least that we refer to it as. But it was Adam Schiff with a New York Times writer named Brett Stevens. And first, the New York Times article writer made this point.
The central part of that question is that California, I'm sorry to say this, a beautiful state, has become Exhibit A in progressive misgovernance. And if you're going to tax industries straight out of the country, if you're going to continue to lose, I don't know, 100,000, 200,000 people every year who have to leave here because it's unaffordable, because housing is unaffordable, you're going to create an example of what Americans don't want from the left. So Democrats and, you know, my colleague Ezra Klein is doing this, are taking a good hard look at California and saying, we're not that. We need to be a party that's from some other model.
So Brett Stevens, as far as I understand it, the New York Times writer here, is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He's criticizing Democrats for losing their way and saying California is kind of the peak of this, because you can look at all the problems Democrats have and point to California as that's why, right there, and across lots of different, you know, points.
Yeah, you can't do what they're doing because look what they did to that state.
Yes.
The policies aren't working.
Right. And so he's making that point broadly. Now, Bill Maher's question originally was, well, what about Hollywood? Why is it leaving? That he made a broader point. So then Adam Schiff steps in.
You know, I don't disagree that we've got to do a lot to improve governance in California, but I don't agree with the diagnosis of why the film industry is leaving. They're leaving because they're getting richer incentives in other states and other countries. And we haven't kept pace with that. So if you want to film in the United Kingdom, you're going to get a tremendous tax break, and our motion picture industry has left the country. If you want to film in New York or Georgia, there are generous tax incentives. If we want to keep the industry here, we're going to have to compete.
Okay, it's odd that I'm going to say this. Maybe the only time I'll ever say this about Adam Schiff. I agree with Adam Schiff. He is right about that. That one of the reasons that Hollywood hasn't been able to keep up. Now, Hollywood has had, and California has had, a lot of tax incentives for, well, not as many as other places, but they've had some for Hollywood. But they figure, they're all here, and we don't really need to give them any tax breaks. Okay, so states started stepping in and saying, we'll give you huge tax breaks. Georgia is a main one.
Yeah.
You see the little Georgia peaches come up at the end of a lot of TV shows now. It's because they're all filmed right outside of Atlanta. A good friend of mine lives right by there, and man, mm-hmm. property values have shot up like crazy because they all want to be around the movies. The problem is that, well, this is a little bit different point, but AI is moving so fast that big studios are just not being built anymore. There's a weird story out there about Tyler Perry, who was getting ready to build a massive production house in Georgia, I think. And somebody showed him, this is a couple years ago, what AI was beginning to be able to do. And he canceled everything because he goes, you're just not going to need it in the same way. And it looks like he's probably right. I don't think we've really rounded that corner fully yet. But people are looking at the future of entertainment very, very differently. But back to the original point here, there are lots of places internationally. I think Ireland is one of them. He says UK. Definitely Canada. It's why so many productions moved to Vancouver in the 90s and 2000s. And then states started to step into it too, with Georgia, New Mexico being chief among them. So there is a lot of truth to that, that people have left California because A, it's expensive. B, they're not quite keeping up with those tax abatement, tax credits. And you don't really need, it used to be, well, we got to shoot in California because of the weather. There's just so, you just don't need to do that anymore. You shoot so much on screens and inside that that's not as big of a deal as it used to be. So even though Schiff makes a point there that is relevant, I really think Brett Stevens comes back here and makes the better, bigger point after Schiff gets done.
I think it's more that we're being outbid.
But why should it just be for Hollywood? It should be for normal people. It should be for any kind of entrepreneur, not just celebrities that you that whose pictures and whose faces you know. I mean, that's the problem. It shouldn't just simply be a favored industry. Oh, we can't lose our movie stars. Every year, California loses people because they are being driven away by a high tax, high regulation state where public services don't reach the standards that they should. That should be a signal that we shouldn't have one favored industry or another. We should have a favored state. California should be competitive.
I'm glad to hear Democrats talking like that. How much of a Democrat he is, I don't know. Maybe he's like a closet libertarian or something, because that's what he sounds like. But he's making a really good point, and that's that why should we have to do carve-outs for these things instead of just lowering the cost of everything? So that's what this looks like, is whenever you pass lots and lots of big taxes, so the government gets its hands in everything, what the government then does is finds favored industries and says, yes, but you're exempt. Yes, but you're exempt. And you, and you. And if you don't think that's actually happening, the current governor of California was absolutely doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Within the last couple years. Remember the Panera carve-out?
Yeah. You don't have to have the minimum wage.
Minimum wage didn't apply if you bake a certain kind of bread in the back.
Yeah, if you have a bakery.
I mean, come on. But that's what happens, is you constantly add layer upon layer of government. And then because people are people and the human heart is evil above all things.
Yeah, desperately wicked.
They find ways to get around their own rules for things that will benefit them and their friends. And this is the exact same thing, to make it even bigger, that Donald Trump was calling out when he was running against Hillary Clinton. He was saying, look, you're going to stand up here and posture and tell us all how the taxes need to be, all the loopholes.
He don't pay his taxes.
All these things that the rich are doing, that the average person isn't doing. Meanwhile, you're the person who made those laws, made those rules, could change them, and don't, because it benefits all of your friends. So definitely, I'm going to use those loopholes because you've allowed me to.
Yeah.
It was just genius and brilliant. And he is now the president again. It is 100 days into the Trump second term. And we're asking you the question in the YouTube live chat poll today. More victories ahead in the next 100? Less victories? About the same? Or there haven't really been any victories? We haven't answered this question yet. Brad, do you have a thought on this poll?
Yeah, I think there's more victories ahead. They got a lot done, but there's a lot more to be done, and I just think that over the next 100 days and within that 100 days will be things like the big, beautiful bill
and maybe we get an agreement with Iran. Maybe we see some peace in the Middle East as far as Hamas and Israel. Hey, who knows? Maybe they're able to get Russia to the table and get an agreement with Ukraine where that war stops. There's a lot of victories that are just sitting out there ready to go. Trade deals, all of that stuff. There's more winning.
What do you think is the biggest win of the first 100 days?
The biggest win of the first 100 days, hands down, easy, is the southern border. Like, that was, he walked in, said, we ain't doing it that way anymore. If you come in, you're going out. And it stopped almost instantly.
It's amazing how fast. It's amazing how fast. And no bill. No, nothing has changed.
No, he just enforced the laws.
That's it. He's been creative. You know, they took back a huge piece of land near the border in certain states. I don't think they did it along the entire Rio Grande. But in the western states along the border, they declared parts of that federal land for national security. And that was after they had already gotten the border pretty secure. So,
and they looked at, where are they sneaking in at now?
Okay, we're going to go here now. So I agree, that's probably the biggest win of the first 100 days. My answer to this poll is the same as yours, that I think there's more ahead, because most of what's been done so far has been set up for bigger victories. Hopefully that will happen in the next 100 days, not further than that. Of course, the tariff one is the big one on everybody's mind, but the reason I answer that, oddly, it's because I think that we're going to start seeing a little bit more publicly the roots of some of the corruption of Washington. What that looks like, I don't know exactly. Like, how are they going to find and come at this? From what angle? Who's going to be the first domino to fall? Seen a lot of chatter lately about the Clinton Foundation using a lot of their money in very inappropriate ways, like for Chelsea's wedding and stuff. This has been a while ago, but that stuff's making the rounds again. You go, well, you know, that's one way they could find corruption, is to go through the spending of some of these non-government organizations and figure out, what were you spending on? Because if you have fraudulently put in line items, then you've committed fraud against the U.S. government. And that's been used before. So I don't know if that's how this whole house of cards comes tumbling down, but that's why I answer that I think you're going to see more victories, because you're going to see more light coming to a lot of the stuff that's been in the dark for so long in the next 100 days. I hope that's what we see. But that's the YouTube live chat poll. We're inviting you to vote on it today. Let us know what you think. We will give you the results at the end of the next segment, which is also coincidentally the end of the Annie Fry Show for today. And we will look forward to seeing Annie tomorrow at noon. But stick around for the results of this poll and a little bit more interesting content to come. You are listening to the Annie Fry Show here on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is an attempt by some to virtue signal, and it's this horrible sort of pitting different news organizations against each other, when ultimately the people at fault are Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Jill Biden, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, every elected member of Congress.
That's ridiculous. That's Chuck Todd saying the media didn't miss the story of Biden's cognitive decline. They were just relying too much on politicians to tell them about the cognitive decline. Like, you can't see it. Like, you have no idea
what's
happening. We
missed this one, guys.
I also love the idea that you just go and whatever the White House says, that's just what we trust. MSNBC literally yesterday would not air the faces of the mugshots of the illegal alien criminals, because they're like, well, we haven't personally verified that they're criminals. So when it's a Biden administration or Democrat administration, they're like, well, whatever you say is gospel. But if it's Trump, they have to, well, we got to verify everything. Fine. We've said it before. Go verify everything. That's fine. You're the media. You should be doing that. In fact, you are big media. You have the resources to do that in ways that little independent new media often doesn't. So you should do that. To Trump, fine. But at least also do it to your favorite candidate, which you clearly didn't. And it was obvious on a national stage for 4 years that I guess your only inquisitive mind was going, is there maybe something going on with the president? We don't ever get to talk to the guy. Yeah. He seems like he's lost not just his fastball, but like the ability to pitch.
he lost the ability to pick the ball up.
He's lost all of that. We should probably check into that. Who should we call? Oh, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy, is Biden doing okay? Oh, yeah, he's fine.
Sharp
as
attack.
Well, Okay, I guess we're done. That's it. Let's move on. So we are at the end of the show today, at the very end of the show today. And we are looking forward to Annie being back tomorrow from Washington, D.C. What do you have?
She did want me to promote the fact that she's going to do a live stream stroll through Washington, D.C. on our YouTube page. So don't go anywhere. She's going to be doing that. And keep your eyes open. Turn alerts on for that. And she's going to walk you through Washington, D.C.
Do we know when? Is it right after the show or...
Soon. I don't know. Like everything's
happening
so fast.
Mike Elam just came in. He's hosting the Mark Reardon show. He said, "When am I going to get to talk to Annie?" We said, "We don't know."
We don't know.
We're trying because she is in the midst of sending us constant. I mean, she's sending us interviews and things. So it'll be fun tomorrow when you tune back in and we get kind of the full inside scoop from her in studio here. Yesterday, I invited Ethan to come in and talk about the Blues and sports stuff, and we didn't even mention the fact that you were in the press pool of that game, and you got to ask a couple people questions at the end of the last Blues game. Anything good? Like, do we need to talk about that?
I mean, not groundbreaking. We mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned their answer, we talked about it yesterday, just that the Blues top line, or for those that don't know what that means, they're best players, right, playing the most minutes have been outplaying the Jets' best players the last couple of games. And that was a big flip from games one and two.
But that's what – who'd you talk to at the end?
I asked Braden Schenn.
Braden Schenn, and that's what he said?
That. No, I asked them about that, what's changed. Okay. And they talked about a couple of different things that they're doing. Bennington is obviously playing really good as well and talked about how good of a line they are and they're going to have success at times, but they've had the better of that matchup.
The Blues seem to make adjustments fast because one of the post-game talking points that I heard from that game was that Winnipeg had adjusted to the Blues' style in the first period and kind of shut the Blues down up until right at the end of the first period. But then the Blues adjusted again and blew the game open. So the Winnipeg coach, I heard an interview where he wouldn't actually say what they did to adjust to the Blues' defense.
I was in there, actually.
Oh, were you? Yeah. That's cool.
I caught the very tail end of the Winnipeg head coach's comments, and then he was asked, you know, what are those adustments, and he basically said, like, I'm not saying.
Nope.
I'm not going to tell you. He's like, nothing personal. We're going to use that in game five strategy, so we don't want to make that known.
It's like international negotiations.
There is a level of strategy in a lot of the different things that go on in hockey, especially come playoff time, even, you know, injury disclosure. They don't have to say, compared to, you know, the NFL or the MLB, they don't have to announce what the injuries are. So, like, you know, for example, some of these guys, both the Jets and the Blues are playing it without big pieces, and most of them are considered week to week. I mean, literally just so that the other team has no idea what's
injured.
Going on. But also things like that, what you're sharing with media and things like that, there is definitely a cat and mouse game to it.
One of the other things we meant to talk about with you yesterday that we just kind of ran out of time on because it was a fun conversation was Shedeur Sanders. What's the deal? I mean, is there any new developments with that? He's been drafted, so I don't know that we're going to see a lot of news.
Yeah, the draft is over.
But...
Shedeur Sanders, we talked about him during Wiggins America on Friday,
yeah,
I believe.
A few days ago.
And because the first round of the NFL draft was on Thursday night, and he was expected to be a top three at worst quarterback and was expected to go in the first round. Most people expected him to be gone by that point. And we talked about how he hadn't gotten drafted in the first round. But, I mean, no one would have expected that he wouldn't have gotten drafted Friday night in the second or third rounds. He got drafted in the fifth round.
I saw stories today that were coming out that could just be rehashing what you already knew. But I was reading them anyway because it's just kind of interesting. That said that GMs of teams were instructing their draft people, do not draft this guy. Mm-hmm. No matter what, we do not want this guy on the team. And the only thing I could come up with for the because it seems like he's got the talent to be possibly a first round, at least not second round, but fifth round, was that he had become, the story itself had become such a distraction that people were like, look, if he's on the team, then we're going to feel pressure to either start him or not start him. It's the only story, and it's a distraction for every other player on the team then.
That's one of the challenges of situations like this is when one guy is bigger than the team, especially from a position that is meant to be your leader, your identity, the one that all eyes are on.
Right.
It can become a red flag, right? And they had mentioned, we had talked the other day about how some of his meetings with coaches had gone extremely poorly. We don't have any official quotes like confirmed from this guy or that guy, but there had been a lot of rumors floating around that from anonymous sources that they went terribly and that coaches were extremely disappointed. And you take into consideration it's just some of the things prior that we'd seen blaming on teammates. And I don't know if this is true, but I saw that Deion Sanders was demanding that he was going to be a part of that first meeting. I don't know if that's the case or not, but
was it just that he was cocky? Is that that's the kind of report?
I think that's definitely part of it. It's even more ironic that you see the team that drafted him, the last guy that you think of to this level that was this cocky, right? Or was the similar style, right? Not was Johnny Manziel, and the Browns drafted him, and that ended up being a disaster. Now, I think that Shedeur Sanders has the potential to be much better than Johnny Manziel. He did nothing with his NFL career. But it is just kind of funny, a little ironic seeing that they were the ones that went with him. Now, this could also be something that plays out really well. Shedeur Sanders could.
Yeah, you got a pretty good draft value. Pick there. No kidding.
He could end up having a phenomenal career, and that it could end up being one of the biggest steals in NFL history.
Can I tell you about my Shedeur Sanders moment?
Please.
It was when I was in college.
Oh, God. When you were on the that was in high school.
I wasn't trying out to be a football player. I knew that
golf.
I wasn't going to play.
Golf.
Yeah, it was probably. I also didn't make the college golf team. Barely made the high school team. I was at SIUC, and my RA was awful, and I was like, man, these RAs are free. They pick these people. They're terrible. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you get free room and board if you are an RA. Maybe next year I'll apply because I could beat any of these people. These people are dunces. So I
hope there's someone out there right now that's listening that was your RA.
I went through the process of trying to become an RA. And I kid you not, I went into that meeting like, listen, I'm your first round draft pick, guys. You're not going to find a better RA than me. I've never done it, but I can tell you, these people that you've picked before are terrible. You should definitely pick me. Guess who did not get drafted in the first round? Me.
Do you draft it at all?
I did not get drafted for RA at all.
Not even a free agent signing?
Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Nothing. They overlooked me because I had a bad interview. I've always regretted that. I think I might have literally
the interviewing part is.
I might have literally put my feet up on the desk. What's the results of today's YouTube live chat poll?
258 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, will the next 100 days have, and then the options, more victories, less victories, or about the same number of victories? 64% say more victories. Wow. Optimistic group, and 29% say about the same number, and only 7% say less victories.
Let's hope for more victories. We will see you tomorrow. Annie will be back from DC. It'll be a fun day. Tune into the Annie Fry Show and stick around for the Mark Reardon Show with Mike Elam.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series, where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.